West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 1, Message 5, A Proper Humanity. Scripture reading, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, Matthew 4, 3 through 4, 2 Timothy 2, 22, 3, 16, 1, 7, and 4, 22.
Hallelujah! What a triumph! We have a God-man pattern in our spirit. So we come to message 5 of morning session 1. You take your outline out. Just want to do a little review. I'm so encouraged that this message on a proper humanity follows the four previous ones. The first being an exercised spirit. A good conscience, a pure heart, unfeigned faith. Because we may have in our concept, what is a proper humanity? Maybe something that we cultivate through our natural birth, which is according to the flesh, according to the fallen man. The best you can do is imitate. But it'll never be the humanity needed for God's purpose. The first thing we need as men of God, basic qualifications, is an exercised spirit.
Amen.
Because the Lord is now the Spirit.
Amen.
And He lives in our spirit.
Amen.
So we have to be ones who exercise our spirit. And then we need to maintain a clear conscience before God and before man. A good and pure conscience. And we have to have a pure heart. So that the pure love of God could be expressed through our being in a pure way. Our heart needs to be pure. All the weeds rooted out. All the impurities removed. And then we need to have unfeigned faith by beholding the face of our lovely Lord Jesus. And by being men of the Word to be a man of God. If we have these four basic qualifications, we can have the fifth basic qualification. A proper humanity.
Amen.
And I was just so impressed with all the sharing. I feel like I have been being trained.
Amen.
This speaking is for me.
Amen.
And I hope each of us has this sense here.
Amen.
Every freshman, incoming freshman, every serving one.
Amen.
Oh, the speaking has been so rich.
Amen.
On the God-man.
Amen.
As a genuine man of God.
Amen.
And how this one... He didn't leave us as orphans, but He gave us a pattern, right? I just appreciate God's purpose with man, God's eternal purpose. God needs a man, right? He needs a man to carry out His purpose, His twofold purpose, image and dominion. God needs a man for expression. It's just amazing that the infinite God has a heart's desire concerning man. And He wants to fill man to the fullest, that man would express nothing but God in His rich divine attributes through man's human virtues. But He also needs dominion. Image and dominion. Dominion to represent God on the earth, to subdue the enemy, and bring the universe under God's full control. But how does He do this? It's so good. Right? We saw, you know, the fall of man and God's choosing man. But then He became a man. And this man fulfilled God's purpose for man. Image and dominion on the earth. This man, he expressed God to the uttermost. He subdued the enemy. He cast out demons. Right? Whenever Satan tempted Jesus, He took a standing as a man. Right? Satan said, if you're the Son of God, cause these stones to become bread. And what was Jesus, the Son of God, His response? Man shall not live on bread alone. He always took His standing as a man. This is incredibly significant. He stood as a man to fulfill God's purpose. So we have this pattern of the God-man. But, oh, praise the Lord. This pattern became the life-giving Spirit to regenerate us, cause us to become the first, the many brothers of the firstborn Son of God. So now this pattern has been installed in our spirit. That's why when you come to a proper humanity, you really need all this fellowship that we've been having in this training to see that a humanity, a proper humanity, is not merely just the humanity we have through our natural birth, but it includes the humanity of the God-man Jesus. Because, saints, we are here corporately taking the humanity of Jesus as the structure so that we can express God and subdue the enemy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I've just been appreciating this word godliness in Timothy. Godliness. What is godliness? You know, God manifested in the flesh. The expression of godliness. Godliness is the expression of God in humanity. That's godliness. It's not some kind of strange spirituality, some kind of divinity expressed, but not in a human way, not in a way expressed through man. Apart from man, there's no godliness. There's no genuine expression of the divine attributes without human virtues. So God needs man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we have the man,
Amen.
Jesus, in our spirit.
Amen.
So, you know, we're getting in this, in the epistles of Timothy, there's a background to Timothy. The age had been so degraded. The age, and actually, it's twofold. One is society in general. We realize this. Today, the same holds true. Society in general is just a downward decline, degradation. But also the church, as the brothers brought out, the entity, the Christianity, the umbrella with which so many things have been brought in other than Christ. This has also caused there to be a degradation in the purity of the church. So what is needed in this age of degradation? Is it power? Is it gift? Is it eloquence? What does Timothy present? I just appreciate what Timothy presents to his young co-worker, this young man, this one he calls a child. He presents a picture of God manifested in the flesh, of godliness. Right? Even he, it's not eloquence, it's not power, but it's humanity. What's needed is humanity. In the downward trend of decline in the church and in society, what's needed is a strong backbone.
Amen.
And that is the humanity.
Amen.
As what we brought out, the standing boards that are overlaid with gold. So what is needed is humanity in this age.
Amen.
So how about we have brothers read Roman number 1. Amen.
For written for recovery, because at that time degradation had already occurred in the church life in the midst of a ruined society.
Amen. So I want to share these two verses, 1 Timothy 4:12 and 2 Timothy 3:10. 1 Timothy 4:12 is one of your memory verses. I hope you have it. Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers. In word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. I was just impressed. First, be a pattern. Let no one despise your youth. And be a pattern in what? In word. Right? The healthy teaching. And what's second? Conduct. 2 Timothy 3:10. He's speaking of Timothy, the last epistle, the last thing he wrote. But you have closely followed my teaching. Word, right? Conduct. The second thing he mentioned is conduct. We need the healthy teaching. We need the word. But what about our conduct? What about our humanity? Are we impressed that our humanity has any kind of bearing in the expression of God on the earth today? What about in the subduing of the enemy Right? What a victory, what a triumph. God, destroy the enemy. A man destroyed the enemy. A man subdued Satan. Yes, it was God. But he took his standing as a man. So our conduct is incredibly important. I was just appreciating this matter of godliness and conduct. And a little testimony. You know, in the epistle, in the Gospel of John, when the Lord Jesus resurrected, we may think his conduct, you know, one thing about this pattern I just want to share. You know, the pattern that Jesus had before the disciples was an outward pattern to them because he did not indwell them. So they observed his humanity and they saw God manifested in the flesh and they were impressed. I'm sure we all would be impressed. And we would do our best to imitate. So if he wore a tie, we'd wear a tie. If he wore a suit, we'd wear a suit. We'd walk in the way he walked. But there's no content. There's no reality. Right? And then, but it was a testimony to them. They saw that. And they marvel. Right? In Luke it says they marvel. Well, in John, when he resurrected, and the disciples ran to the tomb. Right? And they went in and they saw. You know what they saw? Jesus made his bed. They saw his grave clothes folded and lying. And it says that they saw. John saw and he believed. Amen. Because they saw his bed made and they said, that's the man that we saw. We observed for 3.5 years. Yep, that's it. His body was not stolen because he made his bed. And we observed that 3.5 years. Amen. That's a testimony. Amen. That he rose. Can you believe it? You're making your bed can be a testimony of the resurrection. And I have an experience of this. When I was in my third term of the training, I stayed in the locality where I was. I was going to go on a camping trip with a bunch of brothers. So I didn't go back to my home locality and live there. And I stayed with a brother whose parents are unbelievers. And I stayed there. He was a college student. I stayed there for about 4 days. And, you know, I just had a habit of making my bed. I hope we all would have a habit of making our bed. It's a small matter, insignificant, you would think. Well, after the second day, this brother came to me and he said, I was staying in the guest room. He said, Charles, you can, my mom, and she speaks Vietnamese. I couldn't understand anything. I couldn't really communicate with her. She's very sweet. And she said to her son, you can stay over anytime you want. She likes you. Really? Well, that's good. You know what he said? Because you made your bed. And you know what? I believe that was a testimony. Not of myself, but I believe that was a testimony that encouraged this unbelieving woman to allow her son to go to the full-time training. Because she saw there's character, there's conduct. Not that I'm anything, I'm just using an example. Making your bed, something so insignificant. And I also want to read some sobering verses. Because I feel like we need to be impressed the age that we're in. And I can't spend a whole lot of time, but I just want to read these verses in 1 Peter. With this is the background, the need for a proper humanity. Okay, it's 1 Peter 4:4. Speaking about the desire of the Gentiles, carrying on carousings, the lust of the flesh. In this, they think it strange that you're not running together with them into the same flood of dissoluteness, slandering you. So, with the backdrop of the humanity needed for God's eternal purpose, now you come to the situation in the age, the situation that existed in Timothy's time, in the world situation, the Roman Empire, utterly degraded. Full of the lust of the flesh, licentiousness, debauchery. In this they think it's strange that you're not following after them in the flood of dissoluteness. Saints, I think we all would agree it's a flood. It's a flood. And they think it's strange. They can't understand that you don't follow in their actions, in their activities in this wicked age. They slander you. They'll call you bigoted. They'll call you a hater. Because you don't stand for God's ordination of marriage. God ordained marriage to fulfill His purpose. To have a picture of His desire to be joined to man. A man and a woman shall be one flesh.
Amen.
This is a picture. God ordained this so He could have an expression in purity on the earth. But also to reproduce, to propagate
Amen.
Humanity on the earth.
Amen.
So He could subdue the earth
Amen.
And destroy the enemy.
Amen.
But it was brought out last night. God has an enemy.
Amen.
So man has an enemy. He desires to destroy man. He desires to destroy the humanity that He knows will crush Him under their feet.
Amen.
So He is seeking to ruin, especially, saints, especially those of you possessed by God. You are a target to the enemy. Because He desires not only to corrupt your mind, but to corrupt your body. To destroy your body. Nothing damages, like has been brought out. I'm just repeating. Nothing damages your body more than fornication. This is a most serious matter. Most sins just corrupt your soul, your mind, your emotion. But fornication corrupts your whole body. It contaminates your body. It causes you to be separated from God and unable to be used by God for His purpose. It's most serious in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. You know what Paul says? This is the will of God, that you abstain from fornication. Because he saw in the onslaught of Satan against humanity, his attack is through fornication. His ultimate goal is to bring you, young people, into fornication. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. That's fornication. Homosexuality is fornication in the extreme. This is Satan's attack. He wants to destroy humanity. We have to stand for the truth. And I would just say two things. We hate the sin, but we realize that all sinners are thirsty people.
Amen.
Every man needs the gospel.
Amen.
God desires all men to be saved
Amen.
And to come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
That's all men.
Yeah.
And maybe some of you, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, these things were some of you. The emphasis is were. Right? Were. Praise the Lord for the blood. Praise the Lord for the life.
Amen.
His life has power to change a man.
Amen.
This is why we have no fear in preaching the gospel to all men.
Amen.
Because we believe in the life
Amen.
Has power to change a man. And you're here today, so don't believe the enemy's lies.
Amen.
It's God's mercy we're all here.
Amen.
We all today can make the kingdom.
Amen.
But we need to be sober to realize the damage caused by this. And I just want to give one quick testimony and then I'll try to go through the outline in a quick way. I grew up in the church life and I had a genuine touch with the Lord. As many of you had, around my senior year in high school, my first years of college, I would say I was, according to Romans 12:2, I was conformed according, I was fashioned according to this age. I just wanted to be just like everybody else. I didn't want to be different. Most of that was due to my companions. Many of them were unbelievers. So we need the twos and threes. But my point is, I would go to these college conferences up in Georgia. And there were some brothers there who were real patterns to me. You know, they didn't dress like I would dress. They didn't talk like I would talk. In fact, you know, I thought many of them were square. I wouldn't say nerds. They weren't nerds, but they were very studious. They were very sober-minded. They didn't drink. They didn't smoke. They didn't participate in the things of the age. Some of the things that I felt were not too bad. What's the big deal? But I just want to testify. These brothers were patterns to me. To this day, they don't know it. I mean, I haven't gone to them and said, "Brother, you were a pattern to me." But it made an indelible impression on me. I wanted to be like that. I didn't want to be next to them and say, "Hey." But inwardly, I wanted that. They were studious. They were going on in their college years. In fact, one of them had just come back from the training. And he just was a normal human being. He let me drive around in his go-kart. And he wasn't this strange person. He was, you know what it was? It was godliness. Amen. It was a proper humanity. Amen. And I wanted that. Amen. So don't believe the lie that you have to follow along in the flood of dissoluteness to capture them. That's a lie from the enemy. My own experience testifies. Amen. I wanted that. Amen. This age despises that. Amen. Your friends are all drinking. You think, "Oh, I just one beer. I just want to be with them and I'll just, you know, a couple drinks. I won't get drunk. I'll just hang out and I just that way they feel comfortable. I feel comfortable." That's a lie. You don't have to be all holy and you can just say, "No thanks." Of course, the best thing is not to be in that situation. But if you have a genuine heart to shepherd and something arises, you can just say, "No thanks. I'm not thirsty." And I tell you, saints, they observe. That is the gospel to them. It may not show it on their face, and they may speak things. But inwardly, they want that. Because man seeks the proper humanity. Everybody's seeking this. Okay, how about sisters on A? Brothers on one. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Hard times, grievous times, perilous times. This means that these times will be extremely difficult.
Wow. Perilous. Extremely difficult for Christians. Difficult times will come. So just to read these verses. Know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, means they like to fight, slanderers, without self-control, savage, not lovers of good, traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an outward form of godliness, though denying its power, from these also turn away. This is a picture of the humanity of this age. But it also, because we're speaking here of... have we read two? How about we read two together? This also applies to the situation existing in the church today. All these things in society are infiltrating the church. In fact, they infiltrate us. Our humanity is under this same onslaught. I just want to go through a few of these. Just in a helpful way. Lovers of self. Like was brought out in previous sharings. The Son of Man came to be served. No, to serve. Right? Lovers of self. Me, 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 me. I'm owed something. Do we ever have that thought in the church life? Do you ever go to the saint's home, show up, eat all their food, and then leave? Right? They owe me. I'm a college student. I brought my new one. Feed me. Feed me. What kind of humanity is being expressed there? Fallen humanity. Right? Lovers of self. You ever be in a home meeting or in a situation, environment where there's you just observe the food and you look around. The quantity of people exceeds the amount of food. But, whatever. You just pile on. Maybe you go back for seconds before everybody had first. What is... Lovers of self. I have a small little testimony. I was playing guitar in a home one time, in a home meeting after we had finished our sharing. And my wife just shared, you know, there were some saints that were just speaking to one another, and, you know, some students that were just sharing. And I was just in the corner playing the guitar and having a good time, trying to practice. I don't play guitar that well, so I was trying to practice my guitar. And then my wife afterwards, she said, "What were you doing playing the guitar? They couldn't hear what they were talking about. They had to speak louder because you were in your corner playing the guitar." Oh, Lord. And no consideration for others. I just wanted to play the guitar. Anyway, the speaking is for me. Oh, Lord. Lovers of money. I wish I could spend more time. I'm already way over. Lovers of money. You know, where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart is. Do you love money? What about on the Lord's day? Do you give a portion to the Lord? Or is it too precious to you? Do you need it? Do you love money to the extent that you're not willing to offer to the Lord that which is His? A portion for Him. Disobedient to parents. I would hope the Lord would touch you. If some of you, maybe your relationship with your parents is strained. Maybe the Lord would touch you to make amends, to apologize to your parents. Disobedient to parents, this is according to the fallen humanity. Unthankful. I appreciate what Daniel brought out. Right? Thank the saints. How about do the dishes? How about show up a little early to help clean the house? Show how thankful you are. And just say, thank you. Thank you. We're just so unthankful today. Unholy. Right? Related to being just common. Just like everybody else. Participating in what everybody else is going through. Slanderers. Gossiping. Right? Somebody tells you something in confidence and you just spill it out over Facebook. Slanderers. Self-control. Lovers of pleasure. Oh, Lord. So three. In this picture, there are three kinds of lovers. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. And two kinds of non-lovers. Non-lovers of good and non-lovers of God. How about all together on A? Right. And this portion is very precious. What we set our heart upon. You know, Satan is very subtle in the way he attacks. He's not going to lead you directly into a hotbed of sin. But what he does is he uses your thoughts. What you take in on the internet, in movies, even in seemingly innocent movies, these thoughts that come in. Eventually, these thoughts, they begin to control your heart. And eventually, what your heart desires, it will seek out to fulfill. If you want the next iPad, and all you see is advertisements about it, your friends are talking about it, you're just, oh, the more you think about it, the more you see it, the more you want it, and the more eventually you're going to fork out the dough to buy it. You possess it. Whatever your heart wants, you will eventually possess. And your heart is led by the thoughts, by the desires. So whatever we set our heart upon, this is why Mark 12 is so crucial. Love the Lord with your whole heart. With your whole heart. Every morning wake up and say, "Lord Jesus, I love You. Lord, apart from You, there's nothing on this earth that I desire." Declare that with unfeigned faith. The root of the church's decline was the loss of her first love toward the Lord. To maintain the victorious standard of the church, we must be lovers of God and lovers of the good which pertains to God's economy. Nearly all of the 21 items referred to in these verses are related to human virtues. The humanity of the ones described in these verses has been ruined to the uttermost. How about altogether on B? Oh, Lord. Right. Amen. How about sisters? Read Roman numeral 2. Amen. Amen. And I just like to close with this, that We need a strong, adequate, and proper humanity. You know, the last thing related to the lovers is that they have an outward form of godliness, yet deny its power. You know what the power is? An outward form of godliness is somebody who tries to have a proper humanity. But they deny the power, which is the spirit of the God-man Jesus. They deny the power of the humanity of Jesus. And actually, when you exercise to have this kind of humanity through opening to the Lord, as Lampstand will bring out, you need the power through the exercise of the Spirit. Don't deny the power. And I just appreciate two testimonies. Really touched me. One of the brothers shared about a brother who was on the campus and he preached the gospel to a friend. And later on, that friend, he ran into this one in the grocery store. Somebody else did. And this one's testimony was, all those ones in that school, they weren't real. They weren't genuine. But this one, he was real. He was a real man. He saw genuine humanity. That's what's needed in this trend of decline. And the other one is our brother Howard Agassi's testimony. So sweet. He was in class sitting next to a student who was a brother who was praying for him. And this student didn't have the mentality that C's get degrees. I just want a degree. It doesn't matter. I'm just here for the gospel, so I'll just sit in class. I don't need to study. Just pass the class. Or if I don't pass, no big deal. I'm meeting people. Right? But he had a strong character, a high standard, that he got the highest grade. That was a testimony of godliness to this brother, to Howard. So I just appreciate, don't despise your youth. Amen. Be a pattern to the believers. Amen. In word and in conduct. Amen. How about we read the focus together?
Praise the Lord for the proper, adequate, strong humanity.
Amen.
And just really follow Brother Charles. We would like to really impress you that saints, the Lord today need a proper humanity.
Amen.
We might aspire to be powerful speaker, the power of the Spirit and special gift, but this is not that necessary in today's degraded situation. Saints, what situation we are in today is in a downturn situation. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, when he talked about the degraded situation, he is not referring to the society in general. He is particularly referring to the situation in the church. And as we have seen last night through Brother Craig's fellowship, the Lord really would like to gain a group of people that can express Him corporately,
amen.
Right? That can He can find His delight. But even the church failed Him because it was corrupted by the enemy. But I would like to impress you, saints. That's why we need the Lord. The Lord needs overcomers.
Amen.
Who are the overcomers? They are the normal believers, right? But don't define that word normal according to your definition. Right? We may think of normal in our own terms. But normal according to 1st and 2nd Timothy. How many of you have read through these two books in these past few days? If you're not, after the test today, it's not part of the test, right? I will encourage you, read through it. And let the Word speak to you, right? And oftentimes we have our own standard of normal. But let's get into the Word to see what is normal,
amen.
Right? Last night we realized that, we are in a warfare. We are soldier.
Amen.
And you realize that, young men and young ladies, you have been enlisted.
Amen.
You are soldier. So fight a good fight. What a good warfare. Because there is a decline. We may not realize it. right? But we want you to fully realize after this training that we are indeed in a decline situation. For that, we need to fight a good fight.
Amen.
And how God, why God did not deal with the enemy directly? I bet many of you ask this question. Because he is too great to fight against his enemy. Right? You know how God fight? He fight through man. He fight in a man's standing. He fight in a man's position. And of course, how about for this we can read Roman numeral 2, point B, C, and D together, huh? Yeah. Start from B. We do not need divine power as much as we need the humanity of Jesus to stand against the current of today's age. The proper humanity that comes from the man Jesus is the proper cure for this age and is the only healing power for today's crooked and perverse generation. D. The enemy is terrified when we declare and even proclaim to this universe that we will hear a corporate man taking Jesus as our humanity. The humanity that can withstand the devil, the humanity that can withstand the decline of the church, is the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not our corrupted humanity. Our humanity have a lot of holes, just like Swiss cheese. Big hole. It's not good enough to fulfill God's purpose because it has been damaged, poisoned by Satan. Only Jesus' humanity is good to fulfill God's purpose. Of course, the Lord, when he was tempted by Satan, he took the stand of a man. I'm here as a man who need food, who trust in God, who need rest. Right? But no sin. And he withstood the tempter triumphantly.
Amen.
Satan has no ground in him.
Amen.
And also, I want to impress you just through, how about open your Bible? I want to impress you who are the overcomers. How about go to Revelation chapter 12? Eventually, it is a man that will defeat the enemy. Okay? It is not God. It's man that will defeat the enemy. How about read Revelation chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, I'll read you the footnote, 2:1. The child here being a man-child in verse 5 signifies the stronger part of God's people. Throughout all generations, there are some stronger ones among God's people. These are considered in the Bible a collective unit fighting the battle for God and bringing God's kingdom down to earth. Saints, do you want to be part of this man-child? To be part of the stronger one? Don't look at yourself. When you look at yourself, you may think like, oh, I'm weak, right? But look at your spirit. Standing with the fact in your spirit.
Amen.
You are a man of God.
Amen.
Right? And then verse 5, continue in the same chapter. And she brought forth a son, a man-child, who is to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Okay, go to verse 7. Right after this man-child was caught up, I want you to see what happened in the heavens. Okay, verse 7 together. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels went to war with dragon. And the dragon war and his angel. And there's a footnote there. I want to read it to you. Immediately after the man-child is raptured to heaven, Michael and his angel begin to war against Satan. This indicates that the man-child, the stronger part of God's people, is always engaged in fighting God's enemy, Satan. They have been fighting Satan continually on earth. heaven is waiting for them to arrive, that a war may be waged to cast Satan out of heaven.
Amen.
Saints, today we need to be a soldier, fighting the good fight. War the good warfare. And today we, of course, here on earth is not fighting against any kinds of flesh and blood. We are here fighting against the downturn of the church. Stand with God for His interest.
Amen.
Not with our own ability, but lay hold on the eternal life.
Amen.
Have no trust in our own, but we're trusting in the eternal life.
Amen.
While other people, while other Christians are interested with sign, miracle, gifts, power, but we are here pay attention to life.
Amen.
Only the life within us can withstand the tempter.
Amen.
Saints, we want to be men of life. We want to touch our spirit. We want to enjoy life. Christ has life in our spirit.
Amen.
Okay, continue on. Don't you want to cast Satan down
Amen.
From heaven? Right? And that is the beginning. When he was cast down, that is the beginning of the three and a half year of great tribulation, where the great tribulation will begin then. Okay, verse 8, and they did not prevail, neither was their place found any longer in heaven. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
And the great dragon was cast down.
Amen.
What should we say? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
The ancient serpent. Don't you hate that serpent?
Yes.
Who was, he who is called the devil and Satan. He who deceives the whole inhabited earth. He was cast to earth, and his angel were cast down with him. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
How that happened is through the man-child. Through the overcomers. Through those who don't love their soul life. But they stand with the Word of God. Right? Then go on to just read. I think it's good to read the Word. Okay, continue on together, verse 10 through 12. Amen. Amen. He only have a short time.
Amen.
Saints, let's rise up to shorten his time.
Amen.
And how about I want to bring you to Revelation 19. Verse 7. This is talking about the lamb, the lamb's marriage and the marriage dinner. Okay? Okay. Verse 7 and 8, how about we read together? Let us rejoice and exalt, and let us give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And it was given to her
that she should be clothed in
fine linen, bright and clean,
for the fine linen is the
righteousness of the saints. Okay, I want to read the note from 7:2, real quick to you. It says, I just read the partial notes here. Okay. According to verses 8 and 9, the wife and the bride of Christ here consists only of the overcoming believers during the millennium. Whereas the wife in 21:2 composed of all the saved saints after millennium for eternity. So this part, those who are qualified to be the the bride for the marriage dinner are the overcomers, right? And they are clothed with what? Fine linen, right? Bright and clean. And the fine linen is what? The righteousnesses of the saints. Saints, our living out of our living is the righteousness that we have been experienced and lived out. These righteousnesses of the saints definitely refer to their conduct. So, when we're pursuing the Lord, we need to pay attention to our conduct. You know, like Charles mentioned, many times in 1st and 2nd Timothy mentioned about how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Amen. Conduct is our living out of the life that is within us. And this become a qualification for us to attend the wedding feast. This is the garment that qualifies us to participate in that marriage feast. Okay, later on, how about we go down to verses 11 through 16. Read it together. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sits on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes are flame of fire, and his heart many diadems. And he has a name written which no one knows but himself. And he is clothed with a garment dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heavens follow him on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth proceed a sharp sword, and that which he might smite the nations, and he will shepherd them with an iron rod. And he thread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And he has his garment and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you can see, these also are overcomers. After the wedding feast, they join Christ, the victor, to fight against directly the Antichrist and his army. Are we qualified? You know, and what was the armor that they put on? Same armor as the wedding dress. Right? And that is also referring to our conduct. Saints, so don't despise our youth. Right? Be the pattern to all the believers. What? Especially in words and in conduct. And we need to watch out for our conduct. Saints, that is, in today's age, the conduct of man, of this society, is very, very degraded. Even that influence our believers' conduct. We thought that that is normal. We thought that that is cool. But that is degraded. I hope that we all have that realization. That is not the proper conduct that can fulfill God's purpose. Right? And this conduct is not just to be good. A good man cannot fulfill God's purpose either. But we need to be those who pursue, who lay hold of the eternal life. By exercising our spirit, by keeping our heart pure, just seeking Him, and taking care of our conscience to have an unfeigned faith. Okay, how about read Romans numeral 3 together? The way to take the enjoy the humanity of Jesus to fulfill God's purpose is by, okay, brothers A.
Calling on the name of the Lord from a pure heart.
Amen. Okay, pause here a little bit. Calling on the name of the Lord from a pure heart.
Amen.
How can we have these kinds of conduct? A proper humanity. We need to learn how to call on the Lord's name unceasingly. Saints, the more you call on the Lord, the more the downloading happens.
Amen.
You help that bar to go forward. You know, don't just call on the Lord at the beginning of the meeting. How about call on the Lord when you are waking up?
That's right.
When you are walking to your class?
Amen.
When you are just doing nothing? Oh, Lord Jesus. Right? And don't call when you have trouble. Of course, you need to call when you have trouble, but don't just call then, right? Learn to call. Build up the habit to call. Oh, Lord Jesus. And to the point, you know, when, you know, we all need to exercise. Sometimes my wife called on the Lord, I thought she has some trouble. But that is a fallen influence. That is not a good pattern. But we need to call unceasingly.
Amen.
Just because that is our spiritual breathing. How can we exist without continually breathing the Lord's name? Okay, B, sisters. And my burden is here, saints. We need to take in the Word of God. And how we live depends on what we take in. We have to be very watchful of what we take in. Since there is too much information out there and so available for you to access. But we need to give heed what we take in. A lot of all those things, I will categorize them as myths and unending genealogy. That produce questionings upon questionings. But saints, how about give your youth, give your energy, give your time to be equipped with the Word?
Amen.
How many of you have a regular Bible reading schedule? If you don't have one, I would really strongly encourage you, start from today. There's no other way. There's no miracle why some brothers are stronger than the other. Some sisters are just more stable than the other. No secret. Except they are in the Word constantly.
Amen.
Watch what you take in. Saints, don't just take in everything. You can read the news. You don't need to read the whole thing. You just read the headline. It's good enough. But spend your time reading your Word.
Amen.
Why your professor sometimes wants you to read the whole book in a whole weekend? Because he wants to pickle you with that material. And then write a 5-page summary out of it. So you, during the weekend, you can't think of anything else. You just have to pickle yourself and day and night in that 36 hours, saturated with that thing. Eventually, you have to write something. Well, those content may not be profitable for you, but just learn that techniques. You can apply that technique. Okay, this weekend, I just want to have a plan. I want to finish the 3T books. First, 2 Timothy and Titus. I just read it over and over 10 times. You see what happened.
Wow.
If you do that, make your, you know, during the summertime, that is the best time to do those kinds of things.
Right?
I want to read through the whole New Testament in 90 days. Of course, you need to have daily reading schedule, but from time to time, you can use those methods to get into the Word. Right? If you read through Timothy 10 times in a row, I tell you, you really be strong in your faith.
Amen.
And then write a summary out of it. No need 5 pages. Just one whole page. You'll be so infused with faith.
Amen.
You'll be so pickled with God's economy.
Amen.
After that, I tell you, you have no interest what is on the internet. And you know right away what is God's purpose, what is God's will. And I have read some of the questions, sorry to say, but we will still try to take care of your questions. But I will say, if you read through the 1st and 2nd Timothy 10 times in a row in 2 days, all those questions will be gone. I don't know, there's a lot of answers right there. But anyway, we will take care of you still, and we will take some time to answer your questions. Okay, C, pursue the Lord in the corporate body life.
Amen.
These few days we have been fellowshipping with you, get with 2 and 3s. Get yourself related to the homes, not just go to a home meeting, but get yourself related.
Amen.
Build up with the saints in a corporate way.
Amen.
Exercise our human spirit. May this be our most outstanding features of a young brother and of a young sister. We exercise our spirit. Stand against our feeling. Brothers and sisters, don't think too much. Turn to your spirit.
Amen.
Exercise your spirit.
Amen.
E, realizing the wonderful person in our spirit. Okay, I think that's all I have time for.